Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
These nuts!
As we just watched the Clippers take care of the Utah Jazz and even this series at two games apiece, and the inconsistent Clippers, you know, they do their best work when they're down 2-0. Maybe this is what Kawhi Leonard likes to do. You know, I'm bored. So what are we going to do? We're going to get down 2-0 in every series. Then we're going to roar back and win. Oh, that sounds great. But the big question coming off the end of this game, a game in which the Clippers control from beginning to end, was Kawhi Leonard left the game late, going in for a layup, was fouled, came down a little awkwardly on his right knee, and, you know, limped a little bit and limped off the floor. Now, he didn't have any real medical attention done to it, didn't it? But still, he comes out of the game, and it looked like it was his knee. He actually did the interview on TNT with Rebecca Harlow following the game, which told me that, well, if he's standing on the court with no medical paraphernalia on him at all, like no bandage, no ice, no nothing, just like he walked off the floor, I got to think he's okay. If he's doing that, he also ended the interview by saying, nah, I'll be good, when Rebecca Harlow asked him how he felt, and he said, nah, I'll be good. So I got a feeling, I got to trust the guy that he knows his body, because if it really was serious, something was wrong, he wouldn't be out there doing that interview. He'd have gone right into the locker room. They'd have started looking at him going, okay, let's see what's going on. But he walked off the floor under his own power. There's nobody helping him. You know, maybe it was just one of those things where it felt a little awkward, so hey, let's sit down. They clearly didn't need him. They were up by 15 the entire way, and they closed out the Jazz pretty easy. So I feel pretty confident that Kawhi Leonard's going to be okay for the next game.
Yeah, I got to think the big part of it was we are in control of this game, right? The Jazz led 2-0, and that was it. Then they got waxed in the first quarter. And sure, you could say, hey, they won the second half. No, they didn't. They tied. It was like you go quarter to quarter. It's like, yeah, they won there. No. All right, no. So 60-50 is what they did in the second half. So that's good, but it gained you no ground, and it really didn't lead to any anxious moments. Right? There was never a look out. Like even when it got to 10, it's like there's not enough time. You're racing the clock. Because you're going to have to foul here eventually, and assuming they don't gack all their free throw opportunities, the Clippers, you're just going to run out of time. And that's exactly what happened. Stretches back out, 118, 104, your final. So Kawhi, whatever the tweak was, they mentioned it on the broadcast, and he was sitting down. You had the cool, weird inception moment of Jerry West caught talking to Steve Ballmer while the stanchion was behind him. So you had the logo. And the logo, so that's going to be a big deal, as it already is starting to trend on social media. But yeah, I have to believe if it was urgent, he would have been able to go. Instead, just sat and watched the action and watched Paul George finish off a dominating performance.
Mm. So there it was for the Clippers, a team you can never figure out. But my Clippers, who I picked to go to the NBA Finals. Remember, my Clippers and my Hawks, who I picked for the Eastern Conference Finals. My Hawks and my Bucks, who have the series tied at 2 apiece of the Nets, and the Nets are missing 2 stars. My Clippers, my Hawks, my Bucks, Mike Harmon. It's happening. It's all happening.
How many more teams you want to claim, buddy?
Well, listen. Let's just call it for what it is. Before the playoffs started, I picked the Clippers and the Bucks for the NBA Finals, right? Before the season started, I said the Hawks are going to the Eastern Conference Finals. So that's 3 pretty good ones right there. I mean, right now they're pretty good. They may not be good in a few days, but right now they're pretty good. And as you always like to say, the show is tonight.
The show is tonight. There's no question about it. You find your wins on the day of, and you run with that. And it's a beautiful thing. So there you go, buddy.
So there's where we are right now after this night in the NBA. But grabbing all the headlines, and well, because we had one game that was really close early, and then we had this game that really was all Clippers late. Major League Baseball's got a big change coming their way. Tomorrow, it will be announced that there will be a 10-game ban in Major League Baseball for any player caught with a foreign substance. This is to combat the pitchers using elements like spider tack and Vaseline or whatever else it is, sticky tape, whatever they're using to help them give better
sticky
control
tape.
Of baseball. Did you forget about the sticky tape?
Yeah, see? Yeah, you tried to sneak a Dora the Explorer past me. No, you will not get a Boots the Monkey in on me. No, no, don't even try it.
I got to explain to Generation Z who Dora the Explorer is. Okay, hang on a second.
They watched the movie. They know what's going on.
Did you forget about the sticky tape? So this is what's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. The memo goes out tomorrow that MLB is going to say, listen, you get caught with some kind of substance, it's going to be a 10-day ban with pay, and it begins on Monday, June 21st. All right, now that's next week. All right, now we've talked about two of the big topics of this is that, look, it's good that Major League Baseball is addressing this now. You don't want it to fester and go all the way into the offseason and worry about it affecting baseball's ratings and interest level in the game. We're also going to find out really fast what players are have been relying on sticky substances to pitch really well, because those first couple or three starts, when suddenly instead of one earned run and 14 strikeouts turn into four runs and six strikeouts, we're going to know right away. Now, two other big things coming off this decision. One is that it's a 10-game suspension with pay. And I know that it seems weird. Well, what do they care about having pay? No, you don't want to be on this list. 10 days is inconsequential. This is MLB saying, listen, pitchers, we're going to do you a solid, right? We know that we've allowed you to use these sticky substances, but now you ruined it because you got it out of control. And now Sports Illustrated is doing interviews and blowing the lid off of this thing, and Gerrit Cole can't answer a question about not using sticky substances when all he had to do was deflect the question, so blame him. But now it's out of control, so now we got to do something about it. You've ruined it for everybody. But we're not cold and heartless. Because you've been allowed to do this, we're going to do what's going to be without losing any money, because it'll be 10 games with pay. So, but in the end, you don't want, because if you're on this list, you're a cheater. You know, it's just like being on the Mitchell Report, man. It's just like being, oh, this is what this guy, no wonder this guy's been so good.
Well, but except the Mitchell Report was supposed to be secret.
Yeah, well, this is not going to be, because suspensions are going to happen.
Just saying.
Right.
The guys that we found out about, Ortiz and everybody else, but you can't hold it against them because it wasn't supposed to get out, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we've been told?
Yeah, sure. And now MLB is saying, listen, we're not try to hide behind that. We know it's going to wind up getting out. So you don't want to be on this list. Right, you do not want to be on this list, because you're a cheat. You're the same thing. And I know that it's different in, hey, I've been using a lot of stuff to get a grip of the baseball and maybe got a little out of control with it, versus, hey, I've been juicing for a while now and suddenly I'm getting all this money, these big contracts. It's a little bit different, but it doesn't matter, because it's going to be looked at as the same thing by fans and the media and Major League Baseball and sports leagues. This guy was cheating, using this, and now they're cracking down. He got caught, and now let's see what happens to him. And you wind up losing your livelihood. You're talking about future earnings. You're talking about your spot on the team. You're talking about everything you can lose if this winds up happening to you. So it doesn't matter if you're suspended with or without pay. It's 10 days pay. I mean, yes, it's a decent amount of money. But for a Major League Baseball player, it's much more serious to be caught and suspended than it is, oh, and you're also getting fined 10 days pay for it. This is, you're caught, you're suspended. Your name's out there forever. Doesn't matter what kind of career you have. 5 years from now, you could be a pitcher. You could be throwing goose eggs up in the World Series. People are going to be yelling, spider tack does whatever a spider tack does. And it's never going to leave you. And that's going to be your legacy in the game. So, yeah, okay, I get where you can see that, well, if you're not taking money out of someone's pocket, what's it going to teach them? No, you don't want to be on this list. That really should be enough to have people not want to get caught.
Well, that's it. You're always trying to look at, you know, what's the carrot, right? What is the thing to dissuade guys from doing things? It's like any other crime outside of baseball, right? You know, you can speed a little bit, but just know that if you get popped 20 miles over the speed limit, it's going to end up bad for you. If you're driving through a school zone and you're, you know, doing your California roll through the stop sign, eventually you're going to get busted, and that's going to end up really, really bad for you. Tax evasion, all those other things that you might be doing thinking, hey, it's all good. Same thing here. You're fine, except now reputation's gone. And for minor league pitchers, it's a big deal because now you may never get the call up there. And if you're not making it in one organization, maybe you're not going to get the ability to bounce around a little bit in the minor leagues. As how many times do we have the great story? Hey, he's 27. He's been toiling around the minor leagues since he was 19 years old. And look, and now he's getting a shot. Well, maybe that guy doesn't get the shot anymore because he doesn't have the grip, the control, and the juice that makes him a, you know, September call-up or makes him a critical part of a trade, you know, to a would-be contender. So, you know, you've got a few careers that get caught up in that. For the guys that are long-tenured stars and we start using those Hall of Fame credentials, well, you know how voters are going to do. They're going to if it's proven, they throw you right out, or at least most of them do. We'll see what happens down the road, but we certainly saw it with guys that, hell, they didn't even take all the guys that were suspected steroid guys. Some of those guys still got in. So, they don't apply it quite the same way, and, you know, I'll leave that for the Hall of Fame voters to make a feeble attempt to defend themselves. But when we get down to it, you know, you mentioned future contracts. You know, the deterrence of a couple of days' salary isn't going to do it, right? If you're going to keep going, it's like, you know, people used to ask, you know, rhetorically on radio spots when the steroid era was going wild. It's like, you know, would you do it? I'm like, if it means the difference between I'm a bench player who gets in a couple of, you know, defensive replacement and a couple of at bats, or I'm a career AAA guy and having the shot to be a major league player, or maybe just enough to where I start thinking about an all-star or something that's going to get me some major league pay on a whole other level, well, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the shot. I'm going to try to be better about it, making sure, you know, all the tracks are covered and figured out what the best mousetrap is. But, yeah, right, you're looking for an edge. And at the time, it certainly seemed like everybody was doing it because, you know, other than a couple of players, nobody really spoke up against it. Likewise here, I think it's going to be very interesting to find out how vocal guys get or if they all shut their mouths, because we know which pitchers are usually pretty vocal about these things. If they suddenly go silent, well, I think we can insert the cartoon guy whistling and kind of walking away or backpedaling, because that's where we're going to go.
You know, and the thing is that if I can try to see how this is going to go, all right, like, here comes this rule for Major League Baseball. The last thing they want on June 21st and days after is to have every highlight shown on TV, everything on the internet, on social media be, here's the umpiring crew checking out this pitcher. Now they're checking out this pitcher, checking out this pitcher. That's a horrible optic for Major League Baseball, right? That's a really bad optic. Because then suddenly it's like, oh, everybody's using it. It's another round of everybody being cheaters. So what baseball is doing now by saying this is how it's going to do, and it's going to start on the 21st. Now, they could have probably pushed it and said, hey, we're going to start this July 1st, but they're saying June 21st. They want to get rid of the story, and I get it. How they're going to adjudicate it is this. It's going to say, okay, so we put the rule out there, so now we know that we've done this, and this assuages everyone who thinks the pitchers are having an advantage, and maybe now we're going to see more runs scored in baseball. We're not going to come out here and be hawks and be looking at the ball and looking at your glove and looking at your hand every 5 seconds. Don't give us a reason to come out and do that. If you don't give us a reason, everything will be okay. So whatever you need to do to make sure we don't have a reason to come out here and check or look at the ball and see things, then everything is going to be good. Because, like I said, that's the last thing baseball wants, is this really bad optic of umpires out there checking and seeing people all over the place. So I get a feeling that's kind of how it's going to go. We're going to see this rule, and once in a while we'll see something, and probably within next 2 or 3 weeks, it'll be something that hopefully goes away. Now, certain things you can't guard against: if there's more hit by pitches, if there's a pitcher who winds up getting shelled because he can't control the ball enough, and so his spin rate isn't as good, his fastball's flatter, his curveball doesn't break as much. Well, that's something that's just going to be out there. But then it's going to be, well, they're doing it legitimately. So there's not going to be any reason to think that untoward things are happening. So I get a feeling that's kind of how MLB is going to adjudicate this by saying, hey, don't give us a reason and you'll all be good. We can't control the results and what happens in the games. You got to live with that. But as far as making sure it's on the level and people don't think there's a whole bunch of cheaters going on in the game right now, yeah, we don't want to do that unless you make us.
I just want to figure out who is going to be the guy to do the online tutorial with the "this message will self-destruct" about how you cheat now. Because it'll be out there, right? Someone's going to be like, here's how you're going to get away with this. And maybe it goes back to some of the old school cheating habits. But I'm with you. I think it's going to be a short-lived, oh, look, we found a couple of guys. And look, you're going to have a couple of fall guys. You got to. Oh, look, we got them. Look, it's working. And then slowly but surely we'll start talking about pennant chases and MVP contests and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. If he keeps hitting home runs, we'll talk about him. Maybe we'll talk about the White Sox. I don't know. There's going to be other stories that suddenly it's, all right, shift over that way. And the pitching thing kind of drifts away a little bit. That, and as I've argued the entire time, you know what? You guys have been trying to gain an advantage all these times, all these years where the rules have been in there. People complain about the shift. It's like, you know what? Be better. Be better. Adjust what you're doing and be better. So some of these splits will look a little bit better. But because folks started complaining about would-be no-hit bids, Carlos Rodon had another one going the other day into the seventh, is that, you know, they feel like they're compelled to do something. Why? Because guys have big glops of crap on their jerseys and on their hats and everything else. Clean it up, guys. You'll get away with it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Coming up, we got a big story about an NFL running back whose career might be over, and he might be the only one who doesn't know it. Plus, we have two big NBA stories, one an emerging one about Joel Embiid's knee, and the other one is, I think we're having the wrong conversation about Chris Paul at this point. What's the right one? We'll tell you coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oral greatness.
And while we're sitting here, you know, going through the night in the NBA, we'll have more on Joel Embiid coming up in a little bit. We watched the Hawks even the series of two games apiece with the Sixers. Clippers even the series with the Jazz, 118-104. A lot of the attention today and the last 24 hours has been spent on Chris Paul. And in a way, it's kind of been Chris Paul's playoff. Kind of like last year was Jimmy Butler's playoff, the way he was finally able to put it all together after a great long career. He finally fit with the right team, his leadership, and the Heat make a surprise run to the NBA Finals. And it's kind of feeling that it's that way for Chris Paul and the Suns. Here they are through two rounds into the Western Conference Finals, and suddenly all the conversation about Chris Paul has been Chris Paul, point guard. Is he one of the top five point guards of all time? Suddenly, this is real kind of prisoner of the moment type stuff because, hey, Chris Paul's a guy who's been a star for a long time, and here he is now in the Western Conference Finals. Now, just realize everybody wants to have that Chris Paul now top five all-time point guard. Really? He got to the Western Conference Finals. This is a top five all-time point guard? Where's his NBA titles? Where's that? He's been to the Conference Finals now twice in his NBA career. Okay? Now, this is not to say anything negative or disparage Chris Paul. This is, let's have the right conversation about Chris Paul. The right conversation isn't, is he a top five point guard of all time now? The right conversation is, you know what? After years of playoff failure and injury, it's awesome to see Chris Paul playing well and healthy at this moment, because that's an accurate representation of Chris Paul's career. He's always been great during the regular season, right? And he's been pretty good at times stat-wise in the playoffs. But his entire playoff career has been dotted by his teams not achieving and injury. Whether you want to go back to 2014 in that big Game 5 against Oklahoma City, in which he turns the ball over twice in the final seconds of Game 5, and suddenly that's a series the Clippers went from winning to losing. I mean, that's huge. You know, he had playoff failures before, his team's getting blown out in games in which, boy, Chris Paul was unstoppable early in his career. His hesitation dribble, nobody could do anything about it, and still they got blown out in games. But the last few years, it's been more about injury, right? 2015, hamstring injury with the Clippers, right? They lose to the Rockets in that series, right? In 2016, he fractured his hand with the Clippers against Portland. They lose that series. Then his hamstring injury in 2018, the Rockets are a game away from knocking off the Warriors in the middle of their big run. Chris Paul's hamstring injury misses the last two games. The Warriors win the last two games. They go on and the Rockets go home. This has been Chris Paul's playoff life. And so the right conversation to have is, boy, it's kind of like the crowning achievement of his career, because here he is owning the spotlight. He's been talk about him for MVP for the past few months. And look, he played fantastic. He's had a great, great, great year. But the MVP talk, and now he's the first team, you know, the leader of the team that they're in the conference finals. So he's getting a lot of attention. This is more, I'm happy for him. I'm happy in this moment because everybody in the NBA likes him. And he seems to be a pretty good guy across the board as far as teammates and people he plays against. Everybody is happy for him, and that's good. And I'm happy. But the real conversation is, after years of failing in the playoffs and being injured, this is where it's at. It's not suddenly now he's a top five point guard of all time. Really? If he didn't win this series, he wouldn't be a top five point guard of all time. I think we're kind of like, we want to say great things about Chris Paul because, oh, Chris Paul's always been a guy that we've wanted more things for. Okay, but realize, you want to talk about a guy in the top five of all time, it's his second conference final. All right, he's been okay in the playoffs, but he hasn't really been really good in the playoffs. This is the first time he's been really good. Okay, let's celebrate that. But suddenly now we want to forget about everything that's going on in the playoffs, and the playoffs is a big deal. Your playoff legacy is really your legacy. No one talks about LeBron James and how great he is during the regular season. Nobody talked about Kobe Bryant and his MVPs. No one talked about Shaq. It was Shaq's got to get a ring. Shaq's got three rings. Everything is okay. The playoffs define who you are as a player, and you got to achieve something. And whether it's, you know, you're not playing as well or you're injured, that really goes a long way into determining your legacy. So that's why it's more that it's a great story right now than it is now suddenly we have to heap accolades on him.
Yeah, I think when it comes down to it, it's a lot of the wishing, wanting, hoping in all those years and near misses and some bad luck, some bad breaks from the league office, right? Should have been in a Laker uniform. Those rumors are already starting again, by the way, if he should opt out and want another contract. So that would be fun since they got out of that. Remember when Schroeder didn't take his $84 million? They'll have money to spend. But the point being, there's some great stats for him, right? All-time NBA, ABA assists per game. He's fourth. Magic, Stockton, and the Big O. Right, so those are the three, and then Isaiah Thomas is coming in at number five, Kevin Johnson at number six, John Wall, believe it or not, sitting there at number seven. Bet you wouldn't have thought of him. Let's round it out: Kidd, Westbrook, and Nash. So there you go. So he's got some lofty numbers, right, and been in the league forever and paid his dues. He's been a good rep for the game, all of those things. So there's a feel good part of it, right? It's like we always look for a new narrative. This is one that folks have had, and it's like, hey, we can bring that back, because it was always, it's his time to get crowned in the past, right? Certainly Lob City, everybody was waiting for it. Clippers are going to be on the map. Chaos. Lakers are in a bit of a downward funk, right, after the Kobe titles, and here's all the playoff list streak. He could be the guy to end all that and bring this, and Ballmer's yelling developers and all of that. It's a beautiful thing, and it didn't happen. And he wore it, and we'll always remember, don't blame Blake. Can't blame Blake. Well, who do you blame then? And unfortunately, Chris Paul takes a lot from that. And then you bounce around a little bit, and now you have an opportunity. And with the Suns, a feel-good story, right? 8-0 in the bubble. Monty Williams, anybody that knows and watched the games knows Monty Williams' story and his history. Family, you feel great for the guy, right? You're rooting for Monty Williams. So it's all come together for these two guys at this time. But now it's the, can you get over? Once you get over, then hey, open up all the conversations you want on these all-time things. And you know how I feel about GOAT conversations in general. It's like you come in skewed, right? And you start using stats for your own purposes. But until you have at least one chip, you can't go into the all-time thing as the all-time greatest. Like, nobody's putting Stockton in as the number one. But I watched him for, what was it, 15 years just dominating. Nobody could stop that pick and roll.
I watched him get to finals. I'd watch Stockton get to finals. I'd watch Jason Kidd get to finals, get to NBA finals. I watched these guys do this.
Right, and so now you have an opportunity for Chris Paul, and he's playing fantastic basketball, and it's a great story. Not often do you and I agree on these types of, you know, what are the angles for, but, you know, this one is it's feel good also because he's older, right? And the Fountain of Youth story always plays really well as the outliers. Like, look at him showing those kids how to play and hitting mid-range jumpers and add all of it. Right, what was thought to be a bygone era, and there he is. That's great. Doesn't put him, you know, on the medal stand of the all times.
No, it's really hard. Look, and I want it to be a positive conversation. It just has to be the right one now, because now suddenly it's really suddenly he gets to the Western Conference Finals, and everybody crushes LeBron when he gets to the NBA Finals and doesn't win. He's been to 45 NBA Finals and he's won 35 of them. But no. But Chris Paul gets to a Western Conference Final. It's Chris Paul's point guard, top five all time. No, I'm sorry. The right conversation. It's a great story, and it's great to see him achieve. That's the right one to have.
Well, and you appreciate him, right? We've talked a lot about Chris Paul through the years. There's a lot of positivity. But you can't stop before the story ends for each of those seasons. Mm-hmm. He was really good. Hey, Dad, what happened at the end when they got into the playoffs? Don't worry about it. Tomorrow night, we'll talk about the following year when he ranks second in assists per game. Now get some sleep. But, Dad, what happened in the playoffs? That's part of the story. You may not like it. It wasn't a happy ending, but it was there.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So here's the thing. Le'Veon Bell over the weekend tweets about Andy Reid. You know, he played with the Chiefs the back half of 2020. Everybody thought he was going to be such a great addition. The Jets were misusing him, and clearly Le'Veon Bell was done. All right, he was done. He could barely see the field. He dressed but didn't play a snap in the Super Bowl. Andy Reid, who has done wonderful things for so many offensive players throughout his career, Le'Veon Bell said, "I'd retire before I played for Andy Reid again." That was a pretty big statement. Now, he apologized for it today. So let's get to the apology first by saying, "I admit that's something I could have and should have kept to myself," because he talked about this in a Twitter exchange. "And I apologize about that, but that only because I don't regret what I said, because that's how I feel." So this is why my head hurts. So he says, "I should have kept it to myself, but I don't regret what I said because that's how I feel." So how can you not regret what you said, but yet say you shouldn't have said it? How can you say I shouldn't have said it, but then said I'm glad I said it? That's why my head hurts for Le'Veon Bell. It's insane.
It's more or less a Talladega Nights exchange about winning.
See, how can I win if you see that? See, if you win, how can I win, right? That doesn't work. Now, I get why this likely happened, because I'm sure his representatives told him, "Dude, you don't have a job. I can't get people to pick up the phone on you right now. We've been through free agency, the offseason. We're at OTAs now, and you don't have a job." Okay, what does that tell you? And now, who's going to want to sign you if all they think is if things don't work out, you're going to air out your grievances on them on social media? I mean, so I get why he tried to apologize. All I had to do is say, "I'm sorry." Yeah, you know, all I had to do is say, "I'm sorry, I should have kept it to myself," moving on, right? That would have been a thing. But then, no, I said what I said. I meant what I said. Who's going to sign Le'Veon Bell? His career is over. I mean, I
walked out on the Steelers. You already had your issues where your production was down with the Jets, and then you were mad at them, because that's really what it comes down to. As soon as you're mad at three different sets of executives, you got to look in the mirror and recognize it's a you problem.
Mm-hmm. Look, he's someone who either still thinks he's the same player, or he knows he's not but wants to pretend he's the same player, that somebody else is going to give him money to keep playing football. But how? Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? After the holdout, the year away, he was bad with the Jets. He was worse with the Chiefs. Who's going to sign him? Nobody is. No one's going to give him any kind of money. He's done. He did what he wanted to do, right? He was probably done getting hit, done going crazy. So I hold out. I sign for these 2 years. I get this money, and that's it. I mean, I don't get that he still thinks his career is going to happen. I mean, if someone signs him that's not an injury situation, I'll be incredibly surprised. Because
it's I love guys betting on themselves. Like when he took off, we were on air and said it pretty much every day, kind of like the Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson stuff. Now it's like, what's your update today? Still don't understand what he's doing. Got no leverage. Keep going. But it's the idea with Le'Veon Bell. I didn't understand it, but it's like, you know what? I can't wait to see how it's going to play out. And it happened exactly as I thought he would. He got a contract, goes to the Jets, isn't happy, underperforms, gets to sign on when Edwards-Helaire has some issues and Damian Williams opts out for the Chiefs. Averages 4 yards a carry, nothing special. Didn't show to be particularly adept at what they were trying to do in the passing game. And here we are. He's without a job. And now he's mad again. Strike three. That's three organizations that you've decided to napalm in the press and with your actions. That's it. The other 29 are going to laugh and say, we'll take the 21-year-old that didn't make this other team and we'll take our shot.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell, looking at the end of his career. Look, that's why what happened here isn't something that's like, oh boy, this is like just the final thing. Like, if anybody had any question about Le'Veon Bell, this should do it right here. Oh, okay, well, all right, now I'm kind of good now. Okay, I'm kind of good. The guy's going to be 30. We're good. We're good. We're moving on.
Those that missed it earlier, we talked with Jason Lockenfora about this very issue. And as he talked, he's like, look, he submarined a Hall of Fame career. Check out the podcast in about 25, 30 minutes. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Download it. Give it 5 stars. Jason will walk coast to coast as long as you have cheese at the other end of the journey.
Cheese. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Coming up next. Hey, so remember we told you the guy that held the key in his hand to the playoffs about how his knee injury was going to be the big key in the Eastern Conference? That might be an issue after tonight. That story's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oral greatness. It's true.
So Joel Embiid makes you hold your breath again. Remember, we had the conversation about Joel Embiid the other day that, look, he's a guy that when you see him play now, you hold your breath hoping he's going to be okay. Tonight, he had the worst of halves you could possibly have. 0 for 12 from the floor, missing a bad three, a 15-foot jumper, and an open layup, all in the final 2 minutes of the game that helped contribute to the Sixers' loss to the Hawks tonight, 103-100. Now, what was it for Joel Embiid? Well, here he was. After the game, he talked about the health of his knee, that he's playing with a partially torn meniscus. Specifically, when he was asked about his missed layup, he said, it was a great look. I didn't have the lift. Not being able to jump for obvious reasons, it's tough. Now, this is an injury that he suffered earlier on in the postseason against the Wizards, and he's trying to come back from this. He admitted that it was the injury at the end of the game that held him back a little bit today. And look, this is when I say his knee holds the key to the entire Eastern Conference playoffs. Now, it's his knee that, hey, what's going to happen in this series? The Hawks can go from, hey, they're a little engine that could story to now, wow, they can make it to the NBA Finals. Everybody else is injured. The Sixers are injured. The Nets are injured. What's going to happen happen now, but Embiid's knee is such a big deal because the Sixers are good enough as they are conscripted right now to make it to the NBA Finals. But Embiid tonight clearly wasn't the same guy, and still the 76ers went to him for bad shot after bad shot, which makes you wonder, okay, now I got to worry about Embiid's knee, but I also got to worry about Doc Rivers, who had another horrendous end-of-the-game sure. meltdown where he's had too many losses like this over the course of his career. So many on his resume where the last couple minutes of a game was full of chaos and unevenness and awkwardness, and basically it turned into a street game at the end. Like, and just gonna give the ball to Embiid and see what happens. Well, clearly he was having difficulty. There was nothing else they tried to do. Look, you want to get Embiid the shots. I get it, but I just kind of watched the end of the game seeing this is another classic Doc Rivers end-of-game playoff. Why, here they are, they lost. And then he gets very emotional after the game and says, oh, they outworked us the entire game, when really it was, where was anything you tried to do the last 3 minutes of this game? Right? So I get the whole thing for Embiid. We know his knee is a big deal, and we understand that. But at the same time, Doc Rivers could have really helped out a little bit more in this game, Mike Harmon. Tiny little
13-point lead at halftime. And then Embiid goes broken in the second half. Ben Simmons is a non-factor at all, right? Nice stat line at the end of the game, but if you didn't, if you watched it, you saw him, well, be a non-factor. 11, 12, and 9. So just shy of that elusive triple-double, because then people could put that on his resume and tell you how great it was. He's a guy you can't trust with the ball. And he was a non-factor offensively the second half. He literally had an alley-oop dunk, and he made one of two free throws. That's it. Those are his attempts for the second half. Otherwise, he had a flagrant foul, and he, I believe, had one rebound. Otherwise, he was a non-factor. He was actually off the court so they could have Seth Curry come back in. He went 7 of 10, 3 of 6 from three-point range, gave you 17 points you didn't expect. Harris led the way with 20, but you got Embiid gutting out 20 shots, playing 36 minutes, and quite clearly, the fourth quarter, let's just go there, certainly after halftime, but as this game wore on, he's settling for jump shots because he can't take the contact because of his knee. We saw him go down a couple of times where you wondered if the knee was starting to give or if he felt enough pain that he just said, all right, I got to live to see another possession. Like, there's a lot going on there. And not being down in the low post and posting up and settling for bad three-point shots, you really hated, and I think threw something at your television when he missed that, what was it, about 13-footer where he barely grazed the rim. And if and that's being kind. I never saw a replay, so for all I know, it was an air ball. Yeah. I just thought the trajectory changed, so I'm going to give him credit for at least grazing
iron. Oh, look at you. What a nice guy you are, buddy.
Well, I'm trying to be really nice, because nice otherwise we're burying the team and Doc Rivers. So at least I know I got full 36 minutes of effort out of Embiid on one wheel, right? 17 and 21 with four assists. I'll take it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So here we are. Atlanta evens the series. So does the LA Clippers. You missed any of our coverage on this story, you can download our Best Of podcast. It goes up live in about 10 minutes or so from now on iTunes. Use the iHeartRadio app wherever you listen to podcasts. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Download the entire episode. Rate us. Give us 5 stars. We'll love you forever and ever and ever. All right, Mike Harmon, lastly, I'm putting you on the spot. Game 5, Bucks and Nets tomorrow night. Who wins, Bucks?
Kevin Durant with 57 points.
Oh, come on.
Bucks are in charge, buddy.
Stick with that, buddy. Remember, I picked the Bucks to go to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Remember, I did that,
your
right?
Your Bucks, okay. Your Hawks, and the
Knicks. The Clippers, too. There we go. My buddy Ben Maller's coming up next. Fox.